It's the Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Senate Republican Caucus. I'm Tracy Ellis. An extremely controversial sex ed bill is on its way to the governor's desk after Democrats in the state legislature passed it despite the deep concerns of many parents and grandparents. Republicans in the House and Senate fought hard to defeat or at least change the legislation, but could not overcome Democratic majorities in both chambers. Nearly every member of the Senate Republican caucus spoke out against the final bill from the House. Here are some of their speeches.
Senator Short.
There's one piece missing to the amendments that I see as I've read them in the bill. And that's the parents. The parents are missing. The parents were missing in the development of this legislation. We all want our students to be healthy. We want them to be able to make healthy choices. We want them to be safe. There's nothing in the amended version that I read that came across the rotunda that does that, Mr. President. It delays the inevitable. It would have been better to have had the parents on the front end of this process, Mr. President, as curriculum was being developed. It would be better, Mr. President, to have the parents involved with OSPI. Oh, wait a minute, OSPI is going to actually review what the schools put together, and if OSPI doesn't like it, then they're going to reject it. What does that do for the rights of parents who give their children to school, Mr. President? They give them over to the school 8 hours a day to be taught. But they have no ability to say what's in that curriculum because at the end of the day, Mr. President, the amendment I read, the amended language I read, says that OSPI is going to have the final word, not the parents. What's affirmative consent when you're a kindergartner, Mr. President? What does that look like? We don't know. Parents don't know. So they might be able to opt out their children at the end of the process. By then, it's too late. By then, you actually pressure other students to make fun of these kids for being opted out. So really, where are the parents and where is the empathy for the students who will be pulled out of this program? You know, I look at the deadlines for this, Mr. President, in the amended version. It delays the inevitable. It says it's going to happen, whether it's a year later, whether it's now, today, or not. But at the beginning of the year, it would have been, or at the beginning of the fall, it would have been great to have OSPI actually engage parents. Oh, they did the survey, Mr. President, but it had nothing to do with being a part of the curriculum choices, Mr. President. Nothing. It just said whether or not they wanted it or not. 60% said no. That was across the state. In my district, that was more like 90%, Mr. President. But the amended version does nothing to fix this. Nothing. Let me be clear, we want students to be safe, but this is a misguided policy at its very core, because fundamental to the right of the parent and the growth and what their children have and what their children do and what their children are subjected to was not taken into consideration at this at all. This amended version, this bill, this motion needs to be put down.
Senator Braun.
I, too, rise in opposition to this concurrence. There's been a number of points made about the amendments. I just want to point out the last two points. It says there was a meaningful step made that we're going to notify parents. At least we're going to notify them, Mr. President. But guess what? This amendment did nothing to allow them to act. It did nothing to allow them to change the path of the school, change the path of the school district, change the path of the state. It does nothing to provide for local control. There's another part of the amendment that says, hey, we're going to send you, even electronically, the content. But again, Mr. President, it disengages the parents. It doesn't allow them to act on that knowledge. What use is it to provide parents with this knowledge that these types of classes are going to present it to their children, to their child, and not allow them to act? Talk to the school board, talk to the superintendent, to the principal, to the teacher, even to OSPI. There's nothing they can do except come to the legislature and try and change the law. It does nothing to allow for local control. So a small step, but a step that is ultimately meaningless because they can do nothing about it, Mr. President. You know, Mr. President, our school districts are different in many, many ways, economically, socially, demographically, and that's okay. That's a good thing. We live in a very diverse and wonderful state. But we have to recognize when we take bills like this and put them into state law, that these schools are different, and these amendments do nothing to recognize that. They do nothing to allow individual parents to say, hey, we are different than the school district in the central Puget Sound, or we are different than the school district in other parts of the state. This is not right for our children. This is a bad bill.
Senator Schessler.
Rising in opposition to the motion to concur with the amendments from the other body. Mr. President, in the past week, I heard from three superintendents in three counties. Now, I have about 30 school districts, Mr. President, about 10% of those in the state. But I think it's pretty representative that three superintendents in three counties from medium to large district still oppose the bill with these amendments. Repeat, still opposed this bill with these amendments, Mr. President. That did not provide the fact that this may very well be an unfunded mandate on them. Mr. President, I probably had more disgruntled emails than I've ever had, and this does not correct the problems that those emails brought to my attention. Mr. President, these were not click here, listserv emails, or spam. They were people that saw the hearing in the House, saw the action on the floor that lasted until 2:15 in the morning. They still have grave concerns over this bill. Now, you combine that the fact, Mr. President, that as this policy moved, this body was not allowed the amendatory process this year. So our mark could not change. Only the mark of the other body could be applied. So, Mr. President, those people are real out there, and they watched 6 hours with parental discretion advised, and they didn't see that these fixed the problems with this bill.
Senator Hawkins.
I have two boys, a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old, and in response to the previous speaker, the big problem with this bill is no one understands and no one can tell us what is age appropriate. That's a huge problem with this bill. And I'll tell you what, I am not opposed to certain elements of responsible sex education, and I realize good people disagree, and those of us in this chamber. But I do believe that things like this should be developed within our communities in consultation with the locally elected school boards and with the support of parents in those communities. For the state of Washington to be force-feeding this from Olympia down to all 295 school districts, I think is a significant erosion of local control. And it's a huge blow of disrespect to all of the school board members serving all across our state. And before I was elected to the Senate, and before we served together in the House of Representatives, I served for 10 years on two different local school boards. I took my job very seriously. I wanted to do what's in the best interest of my community. And the communities all across the state have different uniquenesses and different perspectives and community needs. And I just think it is entirely wrong for the state of Washington.
Senator Oban.
I do want to speak also to the amendment that deals with requiring down to the kindergarten through fifth grade levels that sex education, age-appropriate sex education be taught. Education would be approved by basically the centralized school board of OSPI. As previous speakers have mentioned, while it may seem like a saving grace of this bill that it require that the curricula be age-appropriate, can anyone define for me what age-appropriate is? I took a look at one of the age-appropriate, as defined by OSPI, pieces of material to be actually distributed to the children themselves. It says for age 10 and up. That's about fifth grade for most of our kids. Mr. President, if I were to have made copies of some of the pages and distributed around this body, which I thought about, But if I had, I am sure I would have had some objections, perhaps even bordering on contributing to a hostile workplace. And that may sound overstated. Mr. President, there's no question. I was an employment lawyer. I know what could constitute sexual harassment. Some of the pictures depicted here would make a lot of employees and certainly a lot of individuals here extremely uncomfortable in the workplace. And yet, Mr. President, this has been approved as age-appropriate material. Now, I have no question that there may be some in this body or some parents or some school board members who might believe this is age-appropriate. I absolutely do not believe it is. And that's the rub, Mr. President. Who will decide what is age-appropriate, where there's clearly going to be differences of opinion? Should that be a government-mandated decision from OSPI, or should that be based upon the values of parents as reflected in their school boards, in their schools? We've always believed, I think, that the best government is the government that's local, where individuals can most influence the policy, the taxation of their at the local level. That's the best government, we think, and that is the best place as well, at the school board level, for the what is determined by a community as to be age appropriate, that should be determined. This bill does the opposite. There is no question about it. This bill says this material now is which has been approved by OSPI and gives us a pretty good indication then of what they will approve and not approve as age appropriate, must now be disseminated, must even to 10th grader or 10-year-olds at the fifth grade level, and will determine age appropriateness for even at the level of kindergarten. This is the wrong body to be making these decisions. We need to trust parents in part, Mr. President, because we want parents to be engaged in the education of their children. We don't want to send the message that parents don't matter. We know the best education is often driven by whether a parent is actively involved in their children's education, and certainly in deciding something as deep and intimate as sexuality, we want parents to be engaged and to have the right to determine what will be taught to their kids. We are taking away that right today by this bill. I urge the body not to concur. I stand with parents, and I will have to vote no on this bill.
Senator Erickson.
Rising to speak on the amendments in front of us today on the sexual education bill that's before the legislature today that would force a state mandate on all local schools in terms of how this curriculum is taught, even though we don't have a statewide curriculum for mathematics or science. First off, Mr. President, I'd just like to request that if in the pre-vote that was taken earlier and released to the public, that if I voted yes, could you please send a correction over to the Ministry of Truth and Winston Smith and let them know I voted no on the bill in our pre-vote if that goes out again. Comprehensive sexual health education curricula directs OSPI to at least annually instead of biannually, that's a change, update a list of CSHE curricula and meet certain requirements, and then modifies provisions requiring public schools to choose curriculum from the OSPI list or use a review tool, including one, encourages public schools to choose a curriculum from the OSPI list, allows public schools to identify, choose, or develop any other curriculum if it complies with requirements, and three, requires public schools or districts in consultation with OSPI to conduct review of the selected or developed curriculum to ensure compliance with the requirements using an OSPI analyst tool. So I've heard this amendment brought up by several people saying this is the amendment that allows local control within your schools, saying here we've gone back, we fixed it, we've watered this down to allow local control. But the crucial language, Mr. President, is found in the amendment itself, which says that the requirements must comply with the state rules and regulations. So it says you can go out and pick whatever curriculum you want as long as it fits into this box. You can buy a car whatever color you want as long as it's black. Basically is what this says. So people are trying to say that this is somehow a local choice option included in the legislation, when in reality it completely prevents any type of local control. And why this particular amendment, Mr. President, is so troubling to me is I also am the parent of high schoolers, or not high schoolers anymore, one in high school, of two teenage daughters. And we grew up in the system, public education in Ferndale, Washington. Great teachers, great people. And my daughters did very well there. But we've all lived through it in that capacity, right? And as a father of two girls, I would like to see the ability of the school district I choose to live within have the ability to create a curriculum that is appropriate for the people that live within that district. I think that's really what where this amendment to the bill fails. Now, I choose to live in rural Whatcom County, participate in FFA, 4-H, have my kids doing those things, raise animals on the farm. So, you know, obviously farm kids, they learn about this stuff early on in life also. That's a different story for a different day, Mr. President. But just to say, that's where I choose to live and where I choose to raise my family. Now, obviously, we're a legislature of 49 members, and many people here choose to live in downtown Seattle, choose to live in downtown Tacoma, choose to live on Mercer Island. And that area might have a different viewpoint in how the parents would like to have their children educated. Perhaps they would like to send them to this intensive sexualized education beginning in kindergarten. That might be the desire of that school district of those people in downtown Seattle, to have highly sexualized, what I would consider to be highly inappropriate, education for kindergartners through third grade. Okay, take it up with your local school board and have that conversation. Now, where I live, and maybe out in the Linden School District, or maybe over in Spokane and some of the school districts in that area, the parents might say, you know what, I really want to talk about that at home, and I don't want to have my child going into that environment with this requirement, this regulation, which this amendment leaves in place, Mr. President, with regards to local control of those schools. And that's, I think, where the difference lies. So each of us can get up and talk about our kids and how we would like to have them educated. And that's why a lot of that education needs to occur at home. And our schools should not be the place where we limit the ability of local school districts and the local school board members who are elected to make that decision about the type of education that their kids get in that particular environment. Because I can guarantee you that when the parents of the Ferndale School District move, or I go to the local grocery store, and they go down to their local Hagen grocery store, they're going to see me or their local school board members. They're not going to see the senators from downtown Seattle who are voting yes on this. And I think that's a big problem. The other one, Mr. President, that I have heard from intensively on this that you might not expect are local school teachers, local administrators in my school district, particularly about this particular section with the amendment, which says your reforms, your curriculum, you can pick it as long as it fits inside this very tiny box and is approved by OSPI. So then when the parents pick up the phone and say, why is my child being given the book that Senator O'Bann highlighted on the floor here today, they're not going to call and yell at the senator from downtown Seattle. They're going to call and yell at their local teacher, their local school board, their local superintendent. So those are the people who are on the front lines who are going to suffer the most because we refuse to allow local control of this very important issue. And those are the ones that I'm hearing from.
Senator Erickson, are you speaking to a difference between the House and Senate versions of the bill?
It's the amendment here. I read it, Mr. President.
The difference between the Senate and the House version?
I read from the Senate bill report, Mr. President, and it talks right here, and I can read it again if you would like.
The important thing is, you can continue your remarks. I'm just saying, speak to the difference between the House and Senate versions.
That's what I'm doing in terms of the amendments that are in the House bill, which talks about local control. It modifies provisions requiring public schools in terms of what they can do at the local level. That's the portion I was speaking to with regards to the amendments. But I think the point is made, is that local control is gone. And I guess when you talk about the amendatory process, you know, here in Olympia and on the concurrence when it comes over from the other chamber, you know, some people will often talk about, you know, it's like putting lipstick on a pig or trying to make the bill a little bit prettier. Unfortunately, with this particular bill, with the curriculum that's out there, with the types of books that are being passed around, this is much more like putting lipstick on the cucumber before you teach the little children how to put a condom on it. And I think that's just wrong.
Senator Rivers.
One of the concerns that I had about this bill as it left the Senate was not resolved by any of the amendments in the House. And that concern is, what happened to us letting kids be kids? I remember when I was five, when I was in kindergarten, and I don't think I ever thought about sex or or I didn't even know where babies came from, and I'm from a family of five, so that says something to you. But also, I remember when I was 10. And what I remember when I was 10 was riding my bike, playing with my friends. And again, I never thought about sex. I've heard mixed messages this session when it comes to the maturity of our children. One evening, in the context of criminal justice, I heard that 17-year-olds are still children, and yet on another day, I heard that 17-year-olds are capable of making the mature decision to vote. But I think we can all agree that a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old are not adults. They are children. They're kids. None of us is opposed to providing children with medically accurate and age-appropriate information that would help them to make good choices, to have healthy relationships, to report abusive behavior, or to avoid abusive behavior, and most importantly, to protect their health. This legislation in front of us is not the way that we get there. As it left the Senate, it also did not respect the principle of local control for school boards. That is part of the bedrock of the public school system. Now that it has come back from the House, the bill still does not respect the idea of local control, and by extension, that means that it does not respect the opinions of parents or taxpayers or grandparents or anyone else who may reside in a particular school district. There are places within our K-12 system that taking a statewide approach does make sense. So, say math curriculum or science curriculum, healthcare benefits. But we have recognized that there are other areas where a uniform approach does not work. Regionalization. That's why we pay teachers differently in different areas. There's another example where the statewide standard is the wrong approach. This House bill, the amendments, may have made what I think is a pretty bad bill a touch less bad. But the reality is, I had a ton of concern expressed after parents reviewed the links to the curriculum as they exist on the website. And I'm listening to the parents in my district. I trust them, and I'm going to stand with them, Mr. President, and I'm going to vote no on this bill.
Senator Linda Wilson.
So I have three daughters, three grown daughters. They aged between 30 and 40 years old. They all have kids, so now I have five grandkids. I have four grandsons and one granddaughter. Very tiny, very little. However, I am concerned about this bill and what will happen when they all get in school. I have one of them in school right now. As a parent, I'm concerned about the part about the curriculum, and has been mentioned before. But as a parent, I was always in my school. I was always paying attention to what was being taught. I was reading the textbooks. I even did it when they were in college. There was textbooks. I read to see what the curriculum was in their textbooks. And so when I read this part about encouraging the schools to use the curriculum that OSPI has, and then if they don't want to use it, but it does have to comply with what the OSPI curriculum is, and I think the parents are the ones that need to be at the table here. I mean, there's that saying, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. That's certainly the case right now. When have the parents been asked about this, other than the survey that OSPI brought forward, which 60% of the parents said, no, we don't want this. Why are we not listening to that? I don't understand that. I mean, parent, you have to know that parents right now are watching. They are, I've had thousands of emails and calls about this bill. They are paying attention. And it really concerns me that this particular curriculum, if the teachers and the principals and the parents and even the kids aren't allowed to look at this curriculum and make that decision for them locally, because these These are the people that know your children. They know their children. They know the community. So they should be at the table and be allowed to do what they want to do, because, I mean, you look at different sections of our state, how different they are, west, east, north, south. We're all different. I mean, I don't believe the same thing that everybody else on this floor does, and I don't learn the same way that everybody else does. But I am concerned that these parents, they're begging to have their voice heard. The point is, the parents need to be at the table when the curriculum is decided. And that's, so I stand with the parents and I will vote no.
Senator Zeiger.
Rising in opposition to the motion to concur on the House amendments. My grandfather, Ed Zeiger, is almost 91 years old, spent his career as a public school teacher and principal. And he does not ask much of me as his senator, but occasionally he'll tell me something like, "Don't be the great school board in the sky." Because, you know, we in the legislature here, we often think that we know best on any given topic, that we're the true experts, that we have a better handle on things sometimes than the parent or the teacher or the school board member or the superintendent in some school district among the hundreds of school districts out across our state. Well, I've had about a decade now here in the legislature to consider the role of the state in the education of our children. It's a role, of course, that we take seriously because of the language in our state constitution about it being the paramount duty of the state. But I think it's very important that we make a distinction between that language that gives us a statewide role in the funding of our schools and what has long been considered a critical policy role of our local school boards. And, you know, that is something that they do, certainly within broad state standards. And when I spent a short time in this body chairing the Education Committee, I kept that in mind, the importance of that local control within broad standards, but that we should not be too prescriptive at our level. Because we know that school boards and superintendents and principals and teachers throughout our state, they know their students and they know their students' parents. And that's a wonderful way that the people of this state have maintained their local buy-in to this statewide system. And though there are differences throughout the state, we can rest assured that people of goodwill are involved in the enterprise of learning down to that most local of level, down to the level of the school building and the level of the classroom in 295 corners of Washington. I would argue, Mr. President, there is no more important area for localized control of education than when it comes to this particular subject of sexuality education. These are hard matters that ought to be discussed among people who know one another and who care personally about the well-being of particular children. Mr. President, if I may read just briefly from the effect statement of the House amendments.
You may please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. So the House amendments, the effect statement uses the word requires, must be, must include, must be, must include, requires, directs, requires, requires, directs. Sounds prescriptive to me. So now, with this concurrence and the amendments that have been made in the other body, here at our level, we are becoming the great school board in the sky, thinking that government knows best. But Mr. President, I have hundreds of emails from parents and teachers and community members begging to differ, and we should listen carefully. It is an insight of our Federalist Republic, with its deference to subsidiarity, down to the state level and beyond that, down to the local level, that we must govern ourselves in most cases. A careful deference to the people where they ask to keep power at the local level seems in order absolutely in this case. And people are speaking out on this now, and they will continue to speak out. And if we accept this motion to concur, Mr. President, it will divide our communities. I believe it will deeply offend parents who are asking us to put it down here and now. So, Mr. President, I stand with the parents and vote no.
Senator Sheldon.
In this 66th legislature, we look at the makeup of our membership. We have 86 Democrats and 61 Republicans I'm a Democrat. I've been elected to the legislature 11 times with a Democrat, a D, right next to my name. And I start to think, Mr. President, about these amendments. Am I out of step? Because what I've seen is a partisan vote in the other body, across the rotunda, as one of our members used to say, across the tundra, but across the rotunda, a total partisan vote. And I can tell by the way members have risen, the speeches, what will be the outcome here. It will be another partisan vote. So I will be, Mr. President, the only Democrat voting against these amendments, against concurring in the House amendments. So I had to think, am I out of step? Well, we just did a survey, and we got over 2,000 responses, but 72% of the people that responded were, I would say, against these amendments. I can see their opposition to the bill, so these amendments don't help it. Although, Mr. President, as a grandparent of a five-year-old that's about to enter preschool, or she's in preschool now, but ready to enter kindergarten in the fall, and a young grandson who's two, I'm very worried about what will happen later on in their education. So, Mr. President, to be brief about it, I do not concur in the House amendments.
Senator Warnock.
I want to speak to two of the House amendments. I'm rising in opposition of the motion to concur. And I want to start out by saying I want healthy and safe children. I want that for our children. I don't know any parents in any of the part of the state that don't want our children healthy and safe. But the amendment that in the House that we have to notify the parents that it's going to be taught, I don't think it went far enough. I think we should be teaching the parents what we're teaching their students. Just giving the information, allowing the school district to post it, isn't good enough. We should have the parents come in and be taught that same class. The other amendment that I'm very, very concerned about is the amendment that said it must be taught once to students in K-3, once to students in fourth and fifth grade. I represent a lot of very small school districts in small communities. So a lot of our teachers are next door neighbors to the students that they're teaching. So I'm concerned that a fourth, fifth grade girl, a lot of times those girls at that age, and I've raised three of them myself, are very shy. They don't even want to talk to a doctor about their bodies. But to have a male teacher try to teach them some of the topics that are going to be included in this age-appropriate material to be taught by their next-door neighbor who might be a male, and on the reverse side, a female teaching a young boy at that age what is what is concerning to me. So when I look at that amendment, it said it will be taught once in kindergarten through third grade. So does that mean one day, one week? We don't have enough substitute teachers or trained teachers to handle those classes. And I think we will see a lot of teachers out of necessity, out of embarrassment, out of maybe not being comfortable in their own job professions, calling in sick those days. We don't have enough substitute teachers to cover that. So I'm standing with our parents and voting no today, and I'm asking the rest of the body to do that too.
Senator Honeyford.
I find that this amendment does nothing to improve the underlying bill or distract from it. I am very concerned the fact that it says that comprehensive sexual health will be reoccurring instruction in human development and reproduction as age appropriate. And I would say this bill fails in that. look at the, it's perfectly normal, the second grade curriculum. I won't read that, but it is certainly not, in my opinion, age appropriate for our younger children. I'm saying let our kids be kids for a while. And so I'm going to stand. I've also heard from superintendents, parents, and teachers. I've got hundreds and hundreds of emails. I will be standing with them and voting no.
Senator King.
If I am a supporter of private schools, I'm going to like these things because guess what? That's where a lot of these parents are going to take their kids, to private schools, because they're not going to have any say with these amendments over what's going to be taught in the public schools. And that's not right. The other thing I find ironic is that when the debate over the amendments in the House was going on, and TVW was broadcasting those debates, I mean, I found it just ironic. On the screen, mature subject matter, viewer discretion advised. Hallelujah. I mean, and yet this is what we're going to teach our kids. I just find this utterly amazing that we're doing this, that we're going to go forward with this, and it'll pass today, and I'm sorry for that, because these amendments will just drive more people into private schools or homeschooling so that parents have some control over what their kids are taught. And Mr. President, I'm going to stand with the parents in my district and vote no.
Senator Wagoner.
When I first got our concurrence book and I saw the amendments the House had in there, I got a glimmer of hope when I first read the provision that would allow school boards to submit their own sex ed plans. But it was false hope, short-lived, a little bit of false deference to local control, because reading further into the sentence, as Senator Erickson pointed out earlier, it said, yes, you can develop your own plan and then send it to OSPI for approval. Senator Erickson also stole my analogy, so I'll just go a little bit further on that. The quote attributed to Henry Ford was, if you wanted a Model T in any color, you could have any color you wanted so long as it was black. In this case, we don't even get to choose the car. We're getting a Model T. That's what we're getting it if this goes forward. And the amendment, which lent that false hope, makes it feel even worse. Not only that, the next element below that amendment says, and every year you're going to send it back and show that it still meets our requirements under OSPI, which could be evolving. So OSPI can, under rulemaking, change where their standard is, and the schools, even if they developed a program that at first fit into current regulation, now may have to change it again. So it's a moving target. Now, I've never been against the underlying bill in totality. I haven't. I've always said that what's important is how we implement it. And if we respect local control, if we respect our school boards, and we respect the parents who vote our school boards to those positions, I'm fine with it. It may work great for some communities. To the age appropriateness, also addressed in the amendments, I saw some of the same material Senator O'Ban was speaking about today, and I can tell you, if it was a photograph instead of a drawing, it would be pornography. I stand with our parents, and I'll be voting no.
Senator Mazzal.
I grew up on the farm, Mr. President. I know what bulls and boars and rams and roosters were for before most kids knew what they were. I knew about procreation, and I knew the importance of procreation. When I see the words here, age appropriate, I think of that night as a young boy butchering chickens, and my dad went on to explain to me why roosters have testicles inside of their bodies and why other animals do not. Well, that conversation led into a further one where we discuss the difference between procreation and lovemaking. I don't see love in any of these, and that's where my part comes in the age appropriateness. I think it's a drastic overreach for a superintendent in Olympia to tell me what's age appropriate for my daughters or my granddaughters. As far as that goes, I think we have all sorts of different values in our society, and every time we overreach like this, we violate those. I think it's important for parents and teachers and school boards to make these decisions on their level. And somebody else mentioned, and maybe it's just because I'm a dumb farmer from Oak Harbor, Washington on Whidbey Island. I mean, maybe it's just that those values are old-fashioned. As Dwight D. Eisenhower once said, farming's easy when you do it from 1,000 miles away and your plow is a pencil. But sir, this violates my age-appropriate standards. And I'm going to stand with the parents of the 10th District, and I'm going to vote no against this. And probably we're going to lose this. I've been known as the happy farmer, but right now I'm just damn sad.
Find us online at src.wastateledge.org. Follow us on YouTube and Twitter at WashingtonSRC and on Facebook at Washington Republican Senate Caucus. I'm Tracy Ellis. This is The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Senate Republican Caucus.